This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and the following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
5 minutes to go, first quarter. He brings Cohen now to his right side. Left side, you've got Gabriel and a couple of tight ends. Robinson to the right side. Snap. And now a little pitch up front. Here's Trey Burton in for the touchdown. The fake. There's the ball deception, Tom. Little flip in front. Shovel it. Burton a touchdown. Touchdown, Bears! Second and 15 from the 8. Snap is back. Good push up the middle. It starts to close. Wilson goes down just near the goal line. That pocket started to close slowly but surely, and Eddie Goldman finishes the job. Sacks Russell Wilson. Second sack tonight by the Bears defense. It is third and 22. Snap back. Trubisky stands in the pocket, launches deep, going for Allen Robinson, but is intercepted by Griffin. He's hit from behind. Robinson was, rather, after the interception by Griffin. And Robinson right, first and 10, quick fake and a throw, passes tip, diving interception by the Seahawks. Griffin up with it a second time. Third and 17 from midfield. In the gun, 17 on the play clock. The snap is back. Big push by Roy Robb again. Pocket starts to close. Wilson in trouble. Ball comes out at the 40-yard line. They get to him again. He is being cornered in the pocket, unable to get out. And the Bears defense to a standing ovation here at Soldier Field. Come up with a big play on third and long. Here's Dixon's spot, Janikowski's left leg. It has the distance. Does it have the direction? It does, and the Seahawks squeeze three out of this first half with no time remaining. 56-yard field goal. It's 10-3 Bears. Bunch set to the left side. Trubisky fakes, rolls, throwing into the end zone. Catch is made. Anthony Miller! Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! They're up 16-3 on the Seahawks. 45 seconds into the fourth quarter. 19-yard line on the shotgun. Pressure to the end zone. Right back is out. Pressure to the end zone. Right back is out. Pressure to the end zone. Right corner. Pressure to the end zone. Right corner. And the catch. Right corner. And the catch is made by Lockett. Deep right corner of the end zone on Kyle Fuller. Not too different from the Green Bay throw last week to Geronimo Allison on Fuller at Lambeau. And it's 17-9 Bears. Eddie Jackson back deep. Empty spread. Right to left. Snap back. Here's the throw. Oh! And it's sitting out and they're picking off. I'm over at 40. I'm over at 30. To the 20. Inside cut on Russell Wilson. Five end zone. Pick six. Goodbye, Prince of Mukamara. Blitz is on. Pressure. It's picked up. And Wilson hit from behind. Ball is stripped on the sack by Trevathan and forced fumble pile up at the 40-yard line. A vicious defense tonight has turned over the Seahawks. Fumble recovery Bears on the sack. Six sack tonight. Third and goal to two. Wilson staring at Marshall. Still looking, but he throws instead to the seam and the touchdown by Disley. On a throw to the end zone, a 2-yard toss with 14 seconds to go. That tightens it up to 24-16.
Cheers, Bears fans! This is Bears on Tap, and the Chicago Bears finally get their first win of the season at Soldier Field, 24-17 against the Seattle Seahawks. But boy, oh boy, were there times where things just didn't look like they were going to go in our favor. But it was the Chicago Bears defense with a dominating performance, looking like the 85 Super Bowl Bears defense. The offense, not so good. We're going to get into all the details with Bears draft analyst Danny Shimon, and we hope to get Matt Nagy's press conference and Mitch Trubisky as well. Welcome, Danny. What'd you think of this football game?
Hey, Aldo. Hi. How's everyone doing tonight? Well, hey, a win is a win. We'll take it. Like you said, the defense came out, and they were ferocious from the start. Khalil Mack once again making his impact, his presence felt. But unfortunately, the offense left us, you know, wanting some more. And the fact that it was a one-score game at halftime really had me concerned. Had me having some flashbacks to last week's Packers game. And, you know, there were some moments in that second half where we got a little bit tight there. But, again, the defense comes up big. And hey, a win is a win. We'll take it. The beer tastes better. The chips are crunchier. The nacho cheese is even cheesier. Things are great. Bears are 1-1, and we're off to Phoenix, off to Arizona, to try and get that second win.
Yeah, we'll be talking about all that. But Nagy is at the podium now. Let's listen in and see what he's got to say.
So those are hard. Those are difficult. And then the other one was a shot downfield, and the kid made a hell of a play. Again, the thing that we're learning in this process is that we're on this next play mentality. And so I'm really proud with how he handled himself from play one until the end of that fourth quarter. Every time after any play, good or bad, on that series, or after the series, he was phenomenal. I mean, his attitude was great. He didn't worry about anything. And so that's growth right there. And that makes me happy to know that that he understands that, hey, there's going to be interceptions. But at least we're doing this thing, and we're attacking, we're stretching, and let's make them make a good play. And you know, more so than not, we'll make better plays.
Did you attempt to do any less in the second half because of where you were and because of his shaky second quarter?
No, I don't care at all about what happened. I'll never care about what he did. I don't care if he threw four picks in the first half. I'm not going to change. I'm going to have ultimate trust in him and continuing to lead this offense. And so I've told him that from the start, and so I'll never back away from that. And so what I'll do is I'll try to protect him at times in certain ways, but he won't know when I'm protecting him. It'll be by me doing it my own way. He's going to cut it loose. And if he starts getting into a shell, then we all get into a shell.
Defense came up big. It seemed like when you needed it most after the two giveaways in the first half, three and outs, and then two straight turnovers, takeaways in the second half. What was the key to the whole defense?
So I thought it was pretty neat that after sudden change with two interceptions, we got 2-3 and outs by the defense. That's awesome. There's not a lot of teams in the NFL that have, I think, that mentality and that of what where our defense is playing right now. The last two games, now we had the difficulties there in the third and fourth quarter against Green Bay, but for the most part right now, our defense is playing fast. They're flying around, and so they helped us out offensively. They helped the offense out, and there's going to be times where the offense is going to help the defense out. So that's just the way it goes. In the end, the only thing that matters is that W. That's it.
What was the key to executing the shovel pass touchdown?
To read the defense and pick either option A or B. I mean, there's a couple options on that. And so for him, he made a great decision with that. And it's a play that we have in our offense. We have different ways to do it and to get to it. And so it was neat to see that come to fruition.
But he can give it to Tariq if he feels.
Maybe. I can't tell you everything. Yeah, so it was exciting to see his focus the whole week of practice, and then to see him pregame here and just kind of walk by him and see how he's feeling. And that he was completely focused and ready to go. The lights were not too bright for him, and I think you saw that he was out there running around, flying around, making tackles, and you know, it's that's what we want from him. Well, they reacted really well to a tough loss, one that stung for so many reasons. But we were able to, as a group, put it aside. And so there's that balance of, you know, myself as a coach teaching them that this is going to happen. But the message to them before the game was it's time to you know, stop barking. It's time to start biting. And really, I mean that. You know, the talk is cheap. Let's go out and let's produce and let's play and let's finish. Let's play. We have it there. Remember last week I told you we knew it was there to reach for it. We could grab it. I felt like, you know, that our team got better today, and now we need to use this as a building block for next week.
What was your view of what they did to your running game tonight?
Well, we they did some good things. They were doing some things personnel-wise. But I think for the most part for us, some of our mentality of it was we wanted to try to stay a little bit aggressive and start, get some of the run game going through the pass game if it was some shorter things, and then just kind of let the run game take over in the third and fourth quarter. Now, it didn't naturally happen that way, but sometimes that's what you hope happens.
Matt, what did you like about the short passing game in the second half particularly?
Well, you know, Mitch was efficient. I think, I don't know what his final numbers were. I think he was either 9-for-10 or you know, I don't 12-for-14. So he was completing the ball, and then some of those are like the run game. It continues to keep the clock going, and then you pick and choose your shots. You want to be calculated with that. But anytime you have efficient passing, and whenever your completion percentage is high, you're doing something right. And then you just hope that within those, you're able to have some shots downfield and get some chunks as well.
Given your path to this point, personally, what does this win mean to you, your first win as a head coach?
It feels good. It's for me, though, it's really more about, and I mean this, it's just more about us. And it's just so neat to start here from my first team meeting with this team and meeting all the guys and seeing us grow. And so I'm just really looking forward to the future of this team, and I'm anxious to see how we
okay, Danny, you hear anything there in Matt Nagy's press conference that really stuck out at you?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that really, really caught me. And he stole some of my thunder. I was going to delve into this here during this post game here. But, he mentioned that he was not afraid of letting Trubisky throw. And he has ways of protecting him. And one of my key notes here I put down in that third quarter, the third drive, that's when he started going with the, short dump offs here and there, the short, bubble screens and smoke screens to the receivers, doing some jet sweeps with Taylor Gabriel. He started getting Trubisky more of in a rhythm, started more of an intermediate passing game as opposed to letting him throw downfield. So I think that was one case right there where I noted right away that he is protecting Trubisky from himself. And in terms of, I want to call BS here, because in terms of he's not afraid of to allow Trubisky to throw, he should have three interceptions in that first half. Yeah. That one throw, I don't know what he was looking at. He had one guy in the end zone, in the corner of the end zone, and he had two, possibly I think three Seahawks in that area. That should have been his third interception. That loses points. Big time. Some big time issues I had here with Mitchell and his pocket presence, his awareness in the pocket, and then reading and scanning downfield and making a proper throw. So that, and then also in terms of the running game, they did a good job. I think Coach Nagy did a good job of stopping the running game. I mean, Jordan Howard only had 14 carries, and some of the plays. Play calling on third and one, he was going with the option play for just give the ball to Jordan Howard, have him run up the backside of Kyle Long and Bobby Massey, who were getting movement at the point of contact, snap in and snap out. I mean, come on, these guys were playing with three linebackers who are not their normal starters. Okay, one guy was just signed off the street and he's probably going to be in prison probably in a week or two. I mean, you have to pound the rock. You have Jordan Howard. He is a viable top five running back in this league. You got to give him the ball. You got to get him lathered up, and then you break Trubisky in. Then you start allowing him to make some of those shorter passes and build that confidence up. But man, I mean, I have like I said, the win is great. I'm not complaining about the win. We'll take it. But there are some concerns here moving on down. And again, with Trubisky, people say he looks scared or he looks timid. I just think he's thinking too much out there. This playbook is a vast, huge playbook. It just looks like he's just not clicking it on all cylinders, and it looks like he's timid. It looks like he's nervous. But I just think he's thinking too much, and I think that's Maggie pointed out there. That's how he protects him. He gives him these short dump offs here and there. Nothing critical, nothing dangerous downfield. And I think that's how he protects him, gets him in a rhythm, gets his confidence going, and then he starts progressing throughout the game. But yeah, there's some areas of concern here offensively. Defensively, what can you say? Khalil Mack once again, all over the field in that first half. A little bit concerning. He is starting to get tired in the second half, and they are doing, to his credit, they were chipping him with a tight end who was then releasing in the pattern, and then obviously then the offensive linemen and even running backs were chipping him on their way out of the backfield as well. So and I think towards the middle end of the fourth quarter, you saw there's a shot of him on the sideline, just gasping for air, trying to catch his breath. So I think he'll just continually get better as he gets into better and better game shape. But man, oh man, I mean, we haven't had a presence on defense for a long time. Yeah, a guy who just takes over the game.
Not that kind of presence. I mean, Urlacher had his own special kind of presence, but this guy's presence is. really, I mean, the epitome of Monsters of the Midway. This guy is emblematic of the 1985 Bears all by himself. He is providing that kind of ferocious, scary pass rush that is going to scare the bejesus out of quarterbacks. Now, I want to ask you a question. Before we let's stay on the offense here for a little while, and then we'll tackle the defense in the second side of the show. I asked folks in the chat room how they would grade Matt Nagy's offensive play calling, with A being great, B being good, C being flawed, D being not too good, and F being bring back Dow Loggins. And Matt Brown 9 says a B minus for Nagy. Air Jair says a C. Shy Bear Plus says B. Kills Me, he called a pass after the Danny Trevathan sack fumble recovery. Howard, 14 runs, kills me. Get him to 20, just like you were saying. DK Voss says C. Steven Zimmerman says C. Howard had only 14 carries. Give me a break. This game is in the bag if he gets 25-plus. And I totally agree with everybody who is saying C in that area. That was the biggest problem with Matt Nagy's play calling, is that he just would not rely on his money power back. This game could have been in the bag much earlier if he would have used Jordan Howard in a manner that traditionally football teams do when they have a lead. And unfortunately, what's happening in the league is everybody is pass happy. There was an article in footballperspective.com that yesterday was a record-breaking day in NFL history for most passes thrown. We are seeing more passes being thrown in the NFL than we ever have in the history of the game. And it's just, if things continue the way they are, we're going to have record-breaking passing numbers. It's unbelievable. And so I don't think Matt Nagy is ever going to change. He's on this pass-happy bandwagon regardless of who he has on the team, whether he's got a novice quarterback in Mitch Trubisky, because clearly that's what he is. He's a novice quarterback. He's playing like a guy who should be playing his senior year in college football, in my mind. So it doesn't matter that Nagy has this young quarterback. He's just going to continue to pass the ball. He's going to use the pass as a form of the short run, and he's going to overlook Jordan Howard, who is the type of back who can easily give you 20-25 carries a game, eat up the clock, and get you clear victories. Now, I will ask you, grade Matt Nagy's play calling for this Monday night game against the Seattle Seahawks.
I agree with the consensus there. I got to say a C. You know, it's like I said, his first drives, you know, both the last week and this week, you know, very good. You know, they both obviously lead to touchdowns, so that's a great start. You know, innovative goal line, the one when they scored on today, where it's a play right out of the Kansas City Chiefs playbook. You know, where basically they pull the linebackers in with their RPO. Everybody follows Tariq Cohen and Trubisky, and then lo and behold, here comes Trey Burns, sneaks right up in the middle, the shovel pass, and for a touchdown. Great play call. Totally caught the inexperienced linebackers off the mark there, and then get a touchdown. So both games, his first 15 scripted plays lead to a touchdown. But then, like you said, you know, third and one, I think it was in the first or second quarter, third and one, and he goes with an option play to Jordan Howard, which, by the way, he got the first down. That was a bad challenge. I mean, a bad spot. He should have challenged. Yes, he didn't. Right. Yep. Howard got the first down. I don't even want a fourth down. But, I mean, come on, give the ball to Howard. Let him run up, you know, like I said, the backside of Long and Massey, who are getting, you know, moving. Even Cody Whitehair was getting movement at the point of contact. You know, you were pretty much manhandling that the defensive front of the Seahawks, who, you know, came in, you know, as noted, they were shorthanded. So, again, you know, you got the lead, you know, when they went up 17-3, and then, you know, right away, you know, the Seahawks get back in the game, and then lo and behold, he's back there throwing the ball again. Let's pound the ball, let's pound the rock. You know, even if you want to do the extension of the running game through the passing game with these short passes, you know, that's fine. But you can't forget about Jordan Howard. You got to give him the ball. I mean, this guy only had 14 carries. You know, the team as a whole only had 27 carries. I figured, you know, with the way the Seahawks came in, how shorthanded they were. How, you know, like I said, their linebackers were just a makeshift unit tonight. That the Bears were going to have as a team minimum of 35 rushing attempts. You know, minimum, at least get into the 40s. He had 27 as a team. Howard only had 14 carries. Again, you're right. The NFL is pass happy. The short passing game is now being considered part of the extension to the run game. But, you know, when you have a young quarterback that you're trying to build confidence in, a guy that obviously doesn't look like he's fully, doesn't fully grasp the offense just yet, you got to ease him in a strong running back, you know, a 1-2 punch like Cohen and Howard. I mean, you got to take advantage of that. So will he ever change? I don't think so. I mean, this is who he is. This is, he came from the Andy Reid, coaching tree, and Reid is notorious for using the short passing game as part of his, the extension to his run game. And just look at what the Chiefs have been doing, lately with, both last season and this season. So, they have Kareem Hunt. There's times games where you see Kareem Hunt have, 15, 18 carries in a game. You rarely see him with the 25 or more carries, Hunt, that is. So, again, is he going to change? No. Is his play calling flawed? I believe it is, but I don't think he thinks it is. So this is something who's going to have to get used to it.
Yeah, we definitely are. Yeah, because you're right. He's not going to change. I mean, even if Trubisky continues to fail, I mean, he just said it there in the press conference. I have confidence in the guy. I'm going to continue to put him in there. So right. I'm going
to continue. I mean, you expect him to say that. He's not going to bash him. Right. But he did pull him aside. I believe after the Anthony Miller touchdown pass, he did pull him aside and he talked to him on the sideline. So I don't know what he was telling him, or maybe he noticed something with Trubisky and was saying, keep your head up, good job, blah, blah, blah. But he did pull him aside and he was talking to him. So you need your quarterback and head coach, especially play caller, to be on that same level, to be on the same wavelength. So, if he sees Trubisky struggling, if he sees Trubisky's having issues, it's his job to get him out of that funk. And like I said, that's how I noticed he did that in the third quarter on that third drive. He started with that short passing game and got him in a bit of a rhythm, got his confidence up a little bit, and then lo and behold, that led to a touchdown pass to Anthony Miller.
Friend of Bears Ballroom Radio, Mark Grody, on the radio broadcast, WBBM Radio, said that it was a special moment between Nagy and Trubisky. That huddle between the two of them, where Nagy was talking into his ear, happened a few feet away from Grody. And Grody said, I don't know what was said, but clearly that was kind of an emotional moment, a great coach quarterback moment. It was a moment of a coach telling his quarterback, I believe in you. I knew this was going to happen kind of moment. So, yeah, it was good. And when you kind of take a more macro look at things and you look at the fact that, yeah, this kid is he's green. He's a college quarterback and playing in a pro game. And so you're right. Going to have moments like this where he's just not going to make the proper reads. As you've been saying week after week, he has problems processing. He has problems, keeping his eyes down the field. He's quick to leave the huddle and so forth. He seems a little wary of the pass rush. He sometimes throws off his back feet. All those things hopefully will be corrected, but it's just not going to happen overnight.
And you could see today that he was cognizant of staying in the huddle. Mm-hmm. In the pocket. There are a couple of times he did run, and he pretty much, his time was running out, and he had to elude the pass rusher and get up. And I think for most part he did well and getting out and getting yardage, and a couple times he got a first down. But, that pass right before the end of the half where he threw in triple coverage, that to me was Trubisky saying, all right, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to make a play. I'm going to make a throw. That Trey Byrne, play from last week is probably in the back of his mind there somewhere saying, all right, I'm going to try and get this ball in there. Because remember, last week he was defending himself in the press conference on Wednesday saying, hey, 3 points is better than a turnover.
Right.
But yet here you're throwing it into a triple coverage. What are you doing? So I'm thinking that is in the back of his mind there. He's thinking about it. Yep. And I think that's what that special moment there was between him and Nagy. Nagy just trying to pump him up, get him up. Hey, touchdown pass, good job. You persevered through this, rough stretch here in the game. And now your team's up 17-3. So I think that's where that comes in there, that special relationship trying to get his quarterback. And again, I think, Nagy saw this. Going into the half, and he probably saw that pass going into the half and said, all right, let me try and get this guy, squared away. let's go with the short passing game here. You know, get him on rhythm, get some confidence going, and then we'll, you know, we'll see how it goes from there. And that's exactly what happened. You know, got him going, got the touchdown pass to my boy Anthony Miller. I tweeted out, I was like a proud papa there, my boy getting his first touchdown pass there. So, but yeah, you know, so then the Bears went up there and you know, let the defense then take over. But yeah, so Trubisky, it's going to be, and that's one of the big knocks on him coming out of college. Remember, although we had this conversation, was this kid only had 12 starts in college. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, he had a pretty good junior year in North Carolina, but you know what? 12 starts doesn't make, you know, he doesn't see all this. A lot of this stuff he should have seen or should have gone through as a sophomore, possibly as a freshman in college, but, you know, definitely as a sophomore, definitely as a junior. But, you know, he's just processing. He's getting into becoming an NFL quarterback. It's going to take time. Again, my concerns are from the pocket, you know, reading, going through his progressions, you know, footwork. I mean, that he had Allen Robinson down on that first Shaq Griffin interception. He had Allen Robinson had a step on the corner. All he has to do is just lead him. And that's a touchdown right there for Allen Robinson. But what happens is his footwork, again, is you know, sloppy from the corner, doesn't follow through. Sloppy from the pocket, doesn't follow through on his motion, short arms the ball, and the ball comes up short, and Griffin makes a great interception on the ball. So, but if he goes through his, you know, his full motion there, follows through, the ball is, you know, on target, leads Allen Robinson, that's a long touchdown right there. So
definitely does. Who was your player of the game offensively? I ran a poll on Twitter and I put in Allen Robinson, and then as the second choice I put in a question mark, because frankly, at least statistically, you know, there wasn't any other person on the roster that statistically deserved a player of the game honors. And there could be some people on the offensive line.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah,
Kyle Long is my offensive player of the game. He was dominant today. I did see him get up kind of gingerly at one point after a play, so I'm not sure if he got shaken up or it was just just a little bit of a stinger or whatnot. But man, he was back. I mean, and these two games, he's been the Kyle Long that, you know, we know and love as an all-pro guard. So the key with him is just keep him healthy, man. If this guy stays healthy, he's going to be back to being the all-pro that we know. I mean, he was, as far as a pass blocker, he was, you know, he was stonewalling, the pass rush, and getting out in front, leading, you know, in terms of the run game. He was out there pancaking, you know, guys out there. So, and once again, he was feisty. And when Kyle Long is feisty, you know, he's in the game, he feels good. You know, he was, at one point, I think I saw him and Earl Thomas kind of exchanging pleasantries there, a little pushing back and forth. He went and grabbed the ball from a defensive lineman who was down the pile there, and I'm not sure what that was all about, but obviously he was, you know, imposing his will out there. So when Kyle Long is playing, guys, he's one of the better guards in football. And he, to me today, I mean, besides Robinson, who had, you know, the targets and the catches, Kyle Long to me was dominant.
What else about this offense either disappointed you on this Monday night or stood out to you in a positive way?
Well, the positive obviously is Kyle Long and the play of the offense, Bobby Massey. You know, he's been playing well. He was beat on that one sack, but I think that guy was offsides. I mean, that guy had a good step to have, you know, jump off of him. So
yes, he was.
So I think you know, the interior of you know, Whitehair, Long, and Massey had pretty good game. Leno was okay. Chris got pushed around a couple times, so we'll still. But overall, I think the offensive line played well today. Again, the Seahawks were a little banged up defensively, so that could explain that. In terms of disappointment, again, the underutilization of Jordan Howard, especially when you had the lead, okay, you know, and you can just keep milking that clock, giving your defense some time to rest there. I think that was a disappointment for me. And again, the pocket awareness or lack thereof of Trubisky and his inability to clean up some of his footwork in the pocket was really, really disappointing. Like I said earlier, I tweeted out, you know, his mental processing right now is really not good, you know. So let's leave it at that right now. So, again, it could be just because he's overwhelmed with this playbook. You know, like I said, it's a huge playbook, and he just doesn't seem like it's just a natural out there for him. He's like thinking a lot. He's got things in the back of his mind. So So I think offensively, and this I've been saying this since the offseason, and although you'll back me up on this, offensively, this is going to be a work in progress. This team is not going to be as good offensively through the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season as I expect them to be week 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, so on and so forth. So it's going to be a work in progress. We just got to hope that you know they don't make a lot of mistakes and they don't put the defense in bad positions and just you know keep grinding away, keep getting those points and allowing you know Khalil Mack and company to play with the lead and then just pin their ears back and go and get the passer. And
Sean Ellis asked thoughts on Eric Kush.
Yeah, Kush. I mean, overall, he didn't have a horrible game, but there were times where he was just you know blown back into the backfield. A couple times, I think I saw him try to pass protect, and he was just literally just you know ripped and pulled down onto the ground. So I got to go back and just you know watch the tape again. But just a couple of plays there just caught my eye where he was beaten soundly. In both the passing as a pass protector and as a run blocker. So not a horrible game, not an F grade or anything like that, but just of the five, I think he was the least effective today.
Quentin Nelson would have played much better, right?
Just kidding. Well, I mean, that's another guy I wanted to talk about was Roquan Smith and the difference he made, but I'll save that for when we get to the defense.
Well, we're going to get to the defense right now. I ran a poll on Twitter and over 300 votes. My question was, who was the defensive player of the game? And the three choices were Danny Trevathan, Khalil Mack, and Prince Amukamara. Khalil Mack won with 48%. I'm surprised he didn't get the majority. Prince Amukamara came in second with 37%. And Danny Trevathan only 15%, despite the fact that he had two of the team's six sacks and was a forced fumble and had a heck of a presence throughout. I would have given Mack the award, at which he won, but had Trevathan in as a close second. Your thoughts?
What did you notice about Trevathan today?
Well, he looked quicker than he did week one, where he looked a step slower, and I think that had to do with an injury he may have suffered in the game. I think he benefited from the fact that Roquan Smith was next to him.
Bingo. So what happened today was, how many times we sent on delayed blitzes? He was sent on, he was you know off to go up the middle, attack the A-gap, because now he's got Vic Fangio now has Roquan Smith, who has the sideline and sideline speed to make up for anybody that comes out of the backfield. If a running back sneaks out or whatnot for a screen pass or a quick hitter, he's got a linebacker now who can go sideline to sideline, who can chase down receivers and running backs in the middle of the field, unlike Kwiatkowski. So I think I noticed that immediately with Roquan Smith starting, I saw a more active Danny Trevathan, not only as a run stopper, but only also as in the pass rush. You know, the Bears were getting pressure on Wilson with the front, you know, four guys up front, you know, and all of a sudden here comes Trevathan just blitzing on delayed blitzes. So I think part of it is because, like you said, he's a bit healthier now, a couple more weeks away from that injury he suffered during the preseason. Mm-hmm. But I think a big reason is because Roquan Smith's back there and his sideline to sideline and his closing burst is what allows Vic Fangio to feel confident to allow Trevathan to go ahead and attack the quarterback. So, and you notice Roquan closing in on running backs and like tight ends and receivers in the middle of the field. I mean, his closing speed is outstanding, and he's not even probably 100% either from that tight hamstring. So, but there were times also where I saw Trevathan telling Smith the play, what to do. So you can see he's still probably learning the defense as well. But once he gets fully acclimated, man, that's going to be fun linebacker groups. It's fun to watch them now. Imagine when they're all in football shape, healthy, and acclimated to this defense. That's going to be a fun four linebackers to watch.
This defense in its entirety is going to be fun to watch, although some disappointment again for the second week in a row with the play of Kyle Fuller. Tell me what you saw.
Again, he was in position to make the play, and I gave him a pass on last week's touchdown to Geronimo Allison. I thought, it was just a great throw by a great quarterback, perfect place.
And great coverage by Fuller.
And great coverage. He was there. But today, he was there again. All he has to do is turn his head. You turn your head, even if you turn your head and you're looking for the ball and you're reaching and you got the guy's arm, because you're playing the ball, the referees will give you the benefit of the doubt and not throw a flag on you. turn your head. I mean, he was right there. If he had turned his head, he could have probably intercepted that ball. But, you know, again, in position to make the play, just doesn't turn his head, doesn't have the instinct to look for the ball and you know, and make a big play. And, I mean, this week, you know, last week I gave him a pass. This week I can't. I mean, you can't allow that touchdown pass, you know, especially when you pretty much had this guy blanketed. I mean, there was a small crease in which that ball could get through, and the ball got through.
And the fact that he's got the sideline and the end zone line working for him, so he's got him cornered. All he has to do is turn, look for the ball, and then physically you can make all the contact you want, drive the guy out of fucking bounds. Excuse my language. Right. We're not supposed to swear on this show. But, you know, he just played that poorly, and it's disappointing because the guy – seemed to be on a track where he wouldn't be making these mental errors. And for him to make those errors for a second week in a row, and clearly that the dropped interception last week, I consider that a mental error. He just, you know, the receiver fell in front of him. He probably was paying too much attention to that and not following the ball into his hand. So I count that as a mental error. So for 2 weeks in a row, mental errors by Kyle Fuller. And you just can't have that from a cornerback who is making that kind of money and truly has all the tools to be a tier one or top of tier two cornerback.
Yeah, I mean, right now the top corner on this team is Prince Amukamara. I mean, he, you know, and remember last year we were all saying, "Oh, Kyle Fuller is having a great year," but yet he was always one of the top two cornerbacks always thrown against. Right. You know, so the teams are going away from Prince. And they're attacking Kyle Fuller. It's happening again this season. You know, Fuller makes more money than Prince, but you know what? They are staying away from Prince, and they're attacking Kyle Fuller. And you know, 2 weeks in a row, he's given up big plays, big touchdowns. When you know he could have easily made the play. So again, he was a guy that I understand why they paid him. I was kind of hesitant to pay him. But I think the fact that the Packers came in and the fact that you would lose him, a young guy, first round draft pick to a rival, I think they even made the deal more enticing to match. So he's here to stay. Again, he's in position to make plays. He just needs to start making those plays now.
He really does. So I thought last week Barflies were a little tough on Prince Amukamara's performance. I didn't think it was that bad the second time I went and looked at his performance. It wasn't great, but that had a lot to do with the fact that, you know, again, it was Aaron Rodgers. Again, it was a defense that was tiring because the offense had them out there on the field so much. So
plus, he suffered a concussion during the game, I believe it was. Yeah. Or he was at least taken off because to be tested for a concussion. So he did get nicked up a little bit in the game. And again, Prince, with his whole career, his thing has been staying healthy, staying on the field.
Right.
You know, and it's a funny thing is because I think this is his first interception in, what, 3 to 4 years, I think it was?
40 games.
40 games. So, yeah, it was his first interception. And guess it's a pick six. So, you know.
He said he's going to get 10. So
nine more to go.
Yeah. So and he said that before Khalil Mack was on the team. So maybe he'll get 14. That is awesome. All right. Tell me more about this defense. Let's go up front with the play of Akeem Hicks. And who else did you like on the defensive line?
Well, the line today, I mean, Eddie Goldman had a sack. But, again, just going back to Khalil Mack, even when he doesn't get a sack or tackle for loss or whatnot, his presence is felt. So that on that Eddie Goldman sack, it was Mack coming in from the outside.
That's right.
And also Floyd from the other opposite side, you know, corralling Russell Wilson, making him step up into the pocket right into the arms of Eddie Goldman. So Goldman had a good game, I think. I think I saw Bullard flash a couple times there. I think he picked up a holding call, which negated a big game by the Seahawks. So, you know, where Robertson Harris, you know, made his presence felt, you know, as well. Didn't get into this, you know, stat box score that much, but, you know, he was there. He had his presence felt. Aaron Lynch had a sack today and two sacks, two tackles, I should say. There was one play. I'm like, what are you doing? It looked like he just half-assed his pass rush. Got to go back and take a look at that play. But he had a sack today, and I think he, you know, there were a couple times we made some nice plays. There was one play where there was a dump off screen pass to, I believe, was Rashard Penny, and or I think it was Mike Davis and the running back, and he tried to cut it back inside, and he was able to shed his blocker and go back and tackle the running back. So that he had made a couple good plays, but you know, as a whole, I mean, you know, once you have Mac, you know, causing havoc, you know, everyone else is gonna, you know, benefit from him. And Akeem Hicks, again, he was a presence. You know, he made a nice play, a tackle for loss, where he did a nice swing move to get right up past the guard and into the backfield. So I think overall, the obviously the defense played one hell of a game. The defensive line, I'd say, or defensive front had, I'd say, if I had to give him a grade, right now I'd say, you know, A minus, B plus. You know, just going off of what I saw off the TV film.
You think this team has the chance to break the all-time record for sacks in a season, which I believe is held by the Chicago Bears with 74, I think it is, somewhere in the 70s, the last time I looked. So you think that it's a possibility? Because I'm beginning to think that it is, particularly if Leonard Floyd can get his game going.
Well, that's the thing, because I'm trying to think, besides Mac, right? Because, I mean, if you notice, second half, Mac is pretty much shut down in terms of sacks and pressures, because they started chipping them. You know, tight ends would chip them, then release into the route pattern. Running backs were chipping them, and then of course, and then you get to the offensive lineman. So, obviously, Floyd is playing with that, you know, that club on his hand, and that's not easy for him, right? He's a guy who relies on his quickness. He's going to have to be able to beat guys with speed, not only with speed, but also get hands off of him. And just using one hand right now, that's going to limit him big time. Can they get the record for sacks? Man, I mean, so they had six to this week, and they had, what, four or five last week? I forgot what you
had
last week.
They had four last week, six this week, so that's 10. And according to somebody, who is it, Scar, the Bears lead the NFL in sacks right now.
Man, I don't know. That's a lofty number. I would say no, but, I mean, it wouldn't surprise. Especially if he starts using linebackers now. If a fan just starts using linebackers like Trevathan today and Roquan Smith to blitz, then you got some. You got a chance there. You know, assuming Mac does his, you know, average 10 and a half sacks, you know, that he's been getting the last couple of seasons. You know, you're gonna have to, you know, the other guys obviously pick up the slack. So, you know, 50, was it 55 or 60, you said? What was the record set?
74. It's been confirmed by Steven Zimmerman, 74 in the 1984 Chicago Bears.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to just say no. All but right. I'll be rooting for them to get it, but I'm just going to say no.
I'm going to go out there and say that they are. They're going to get 77 sacks. And
wow.
Anyone out there in Bears barroom world, any of the barflies, if you correctly guess how many sacks, you got to send me an email at, excuse me, my email is aldo@bearsbarroom.com. If you correctly guess the amount of sacks that the Chicago Bears will have for this season, I will send you a T-shirt from our Bears Barroom swag shop. So
you did say sacks, not sex, right?
Sacks. S A C K.
Because if it's sex, it's a lot more than 70 something, whatever.
Sacks, quarterback sacks. Okay. All right. What else about the defense caught your eye today?
I think the safeties redeem themselves. You know, for in terms of Eddie Jackson made a couple of nice plays.
Yes,
in pass coverage.
Pass coverage,
of course.
Right.
Yeah, of course, he was the one who dove at or you know, tried to make a play on the Cobb touchdown last week. So I think he played well today. Amos came downhill and did what he does best, and that's, you know, secure tackles and stuff to run. So I think safety played better today. Obviously, you know, we talked about the front four. Cornerbacks, you know, Kyle Fuller again was there, just got to make the play. And Bryce Callahan had, you know, quietly is having a pretty good season so far. First two games, you know, he's tough for a smaller, small statue player. I mean, he comes in there, throws his head in there, and you know, he'll go and make, you know, secure a tackle. So again, key with him too is just got to keep him healthy. So. And then I think Kevin Tolliver was active today, but I didn't see him out there, not even on special teams, so I might have to go back and see what he did today. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of the secondary, I think they obviously played better today. Obviously, they're not as challenged as they were last week with the likes of the Devontae Adams and Cobb and Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball. So, they're going to get better. I mean, defense is already, carrying this team, in my opinion. I think they're only going to get better as, like I said, Roquan Smith gets in better shape, learns the defense, and then Khalil Mack also gets into football shape. So, as long as they stay healthy, knock on wood, I think this defense is going to be, top five, at the least, so good things to come with the Bears defense. And of course, next week there's now, scuttlebutt that the Cardinals may go, with our, with our friend there, the backup quarterback, maybe, or might go with the rookie. So either way, I mean, I would love to see Mike Glennon. I mean, come on, could you see how many sacks you think this team was going to have with Mike Glennon back there as a statue?
They're going to get 74
by 3 weeks.
Hey, we got a little clip of Mitch Trubisky at the podium. Let's see what he had to say after the game.
This week compared to last week, in terms of how you felt this game,
feels amazing to win. I mean, this is what this game's all about. Last week didn't go our way. This week, we pulled together as a team and we got it done. There's always going to be stuff we got to improve on. We know that, but you got to enjoy these W's, and we definitely did. We came together. We made the plays when we need to. Offense has got us to keep building. Defense is going to be special. We just got to have each other's back, and special teams is doing their thing as well. So we just got to bring the three phases together and continue to roll, and hopefully just get on a roll from here on out. But it feels really good to win.
You talk about we want to have a different mindset. Did you have a different mindset this week?
Just let loose. Let loose, play free. My teammates and coach had my back all week. Just trying not to put too much pressure on myself and just go out there, have fun, and enjoy it with the guys, and that's what I did tonight. So there's going to be stuff I'm going to look at, continue to build, and get better. But it was a lot of fun to be out there on Monday night. Appreciate all the fans. They were great tonight. And like I said, defense played fantastic, so that's awesome for our team.
How'd you feel about your pocket presence, your poise, your clock, the things you talked about improving?
Yeah, for sure. Still getting better. I feel like I was better at that this week, just staying in the pocket, getting the ball out quick. O-line did a fantastic job all night, giving me time when I needed it, and just finding those receivers. But they got a good scheme on the other side, and we just found ways to move the ball down the field, and we just got to keep improving and keep finding ways to score points and keep our defense off the field to give them a break, because they've been playing so well. So just keep rolling and just keep growing within this offense is what we're trying to do. But I think I was better in the pocket tonight, and I'll go back and look at it and see what I can continue to improve on.
Worked so well on that second half score.
I think we were just methodical. Everything coach was calling, we were kind of just going down the field and staying out of third and longs, just not beating ourselves with penalties or anything, just sticking together, executing the plays, going out and really mixing it up with the run and the pass and the play action and all that, and then going down and finishing in the red zone. So it all starts up front in the O-line. They were beating them up in the run game and giving me time in the pass game. So a lot of credit to those guys, and I think they played really good tonight. They played great for us.
You're the kind of guy that goes home and you'll be up all night thinking about plays and you could have done better or things that you do well, or are you able to turn this off when you go?
A little bit of both. I mean, it all depends.
Yeah, great question. Are you able to turn it off when you go to bed? You know what? If I was in that press room, I would ask this question. I'm going to swear, everybody. So, again, I apologize. I'm going to say, hi, Aldo Gandia from BearsBarroom.com. Hey, Mitch, you played relatively well in the first and fourth quarter, but you played like shit in the second and third quarter. Can you please tell us what was going on there? Because I need to understand what the hell is going on there.
The one thing I noticed about him is he's having trouble getting the ball in between the second and third levels of the defense. He's throwing a flat ball, meaning it's straight on the line. So the ball is being tipped. The ball's not dropping it into in between the two levels of the defense there. So I don't know if he's just trying to zing it in there, with arm strength, or does he not have confidence in his accuracy at this time? He was known for being an accurate quarterback coming out, and even last year he showed us some pretty good accuracy. At times this year when he gets out of the pocket, I've mentioned, he's pretty accurate. Like that throw Anthony Miller touchdown, That was pretty nice. You know, Ackler throwing the run, you know, going to his left, you know, hit Miller right on stride. But I just, it just seems like he's throwing a flat ball, you know, more arm as opposed to touch, and it's having trouble getting that in between the second and third levels of the defense.
What are your expectations for Mitch Trubisky in week three at Arizona?
Well, that's a good question because, I mean, I know Arizona is 0-2, but, you know, keep in mind, they got some playmakers on defense. You know, they have, you know, Chandler Jones rushing off the edge. Obviously, they still have the Patrick Peterson at cornerback. They have, you know, Deion Buchanan now who's playing linebacker. So, you know, they got some players on defense. So, in terms of what I'm you have a defense that has potential to be top five, be a great defense. Just don't put them in positions, you know, to put them in bad positions. You know, keep getting first downs. You know, go through your progressions, go through your reads. The coach is gonna, like you said today, the coach is gonna try and help him with his play calling. I wish the coach would allow him to hand the ball off to his running back a couple more times, but just be smart with the ball. If you see a play, you know, go for it. Like, you know, they're saying today on a broadcast. By the way, the broadcast was horrible tonight. But anyway, I digress here. you just play, you know, play free and easy. Like I said, he just seems like he's just too much on his mind right now. He's just thinking too much. He's got that glazed look at times. So, you know, go out there, just, you know, make the throws. You know, you can make them. You have the athletic ability to make these throws. You know, just don't be, you know, deer in headlights, you know, look like you're, you know, not knowing what to do and throw a ball, you know, with three guys, you know, on your one guy into the corner of end zone when you're like, you know, 5 yards away from a touchdown. So, you know, play to the strength of your team. And right now that strength is your defense. And in my opinion, the running game, play to that strength. You know, again, that's going to be a lot of what the coaching, you know, staff calls for him, but, you know, try not to be, you know, try not to make those, you know, errant throws where, you know, like I said, forcing the ball and putting your defense into a bad spot, you know, into giving up points and all that stuff. So it's going to be a process, right? It's a process. We've gone over this so many times. You know, his lack of experience, you know, I expect every week for him to get better. Was he better this game than he was last game? In my opinion, he was, you know, because, you know, remember last week in the second half, I mean, he was pretty much, in my opinion, he was like lost. You know, he did come out and he did put that drive together that led to the touchdown. I think I saw some growth there. Now, was that just a play call that, you know, Nagy helping him, you know, get through the game? You know, that's what I think, you know, but also he had to go out there and make those plays, make those throws. So, you know, I think he was better this week. Obviously the win helps. You know, every time you win, always the confidence of the whole team, you know, boosts and goes up there. So just continue to make positive plays. You know, don't fall, you know, behind the chains. You know, first and 13, first and 15. There was that one play where he had the it was third and three. If he had just gone up the middle, kept running straight, he would have had the first down, it appeared. Instead, he tried to cut it to the outside. And he got tackled for a 2-yard loss.
That hurt.
So, you know, it's like stuff like that, you know, plays like that. You know, you that could have been a first down, a new set of series. You move the chains. You keep the offense on the field. You know, stuff like that. Take what the defense gives you. It just looks like he was just trying to do too much at times.
I'll tell you this on that one particular play that you called, that you cited, that run play. The traditional camera angle showed that he clearly made a mistake by taking it towards the sideline. But when they had the end zone look, there were a couple of other defenders about 7 yards away from him. So I can see why he made
they were
that
closing
decision.
On him,
So, you know, he would have had to lower his shoulder to get that first down if he would have, you know, followed the block the way it was supposed to be. Now, Steven Zimmerman says that at Arizona, Mitch Trubisky is going to have 400 plus yards, 3 touchdowns, 50 yards rushing, and 0 INTs. He says, be overestimating a little bit. Midwest Southpaw says, I feel like we're going to set them up for another Denny Green interview. That would be nice. Who's the coach over at Arizona now? I forgot the new guy that took
Wilkes.
Over.
Brooks. Steve
Wilkes. Oh, yeah.
Wilkes. He used to be the Bears defensive back coach. Went under Lovie Smith.
Oh, That would be great to have him do a little meltdown after the game. That would be really nice.
Getting back to that play real quick, that 3 yard, the run. Again, this is an example of him trying to do too much. Like, I think he knew he could get the 3 yards to get a first down, but he wanted to get more. He wanted to go outside and make it, instead of a 3 yard gain, he wanted to make it a 10 yard gain. So like, just get the 3 yards, get the first down. Don't play, don't try and do too much here, and just continue to grow was what I'm looking for Mitch, that third quarter. I mean, the beginning part of that third quarter, I was seeing flashbacks of Green Bay all over again. And then finally that third drive is where you could saw, Nagy kind of, alter the play calling. You saw him get into a little bit of rhythm and it cultivated with that, Miller touchdown pass.
One thing that you mentioned the Green Bay game and Mitch's performance there. One thing we have to keep in mind, though, I mean, this is a game at Lambeau Field. It's a national TV game. And the guy is young and he's green and he hasn't had all the starts like you mentioned earlier in the show. So, once you take a little bit more of a macro view about his development, you can kind of understand why he isn't, playing as well as we would like to see him. Now, again, remember I told you, what was it, a week or two shows ago maybe, that Patrick Mahomes was my favorite?
Yeah, I knew it. I knew you were going to bring Patrick Mahomes into this conversation today.
Well, why shouldn't I? Because I was right. He is the best quarterback that came out of that draft. He's better than Deshaun Watson. He's better than Mitchell Trubisky. And he's better than Shane's guy, Deshaun Kizer, who's already been traded and is really should be a third stringer in Green Bay. But the Packers traded Brett Huntley. I was right.
Well,
Patrick Mahomes is a special quarterback.
I don't want you to hurt yourself patting yourself in the back there, but
let's
take a look at Patrick Mahomes here. So, okay, first of all, he's off to a great start. He leads the NFL in touchdown passes, but, he's got a shit ton of weapons around him, right?
Let me finish.
He's got a head coach who's a terrific play caller, okay, who knows how to get them in the right plays and gets them in a position to make, get the ball into the hands of those playmakers. Plus, let's not forget, this is really technically his rookie year because he never played like the last game of the season last year. Wait till these defensive coordinators get film tape on Patrick Mahomes, and then they're going to start attacking him. Just like Deshaun Watson tore up the league last year in 7 games, this year, although he's not horrible, but he's also not on the same pace as he was last year. Defensive coordinators, once they see you, they have a good amount of tape on you, they attack you, and they pick your weaknesses, they spot them, and they'll attack them. Before we put Patrick Mahomes into the into Kenton, let's wait and see how he does, in terms of his career. Now, I know for a fact that the Chiefs and the Texans were trying to trade up to draft Trubisky, okay? So I know... the Chiefs.
Don't care. My eyes tell me that Patrick Mahomes has a bullet for an arm. So I don't care if they look at the tape and say, let's attack this guy. This guy has steel cast nuts. He's not afraid to make the throws like Mitch Trubisky is afraid, because Trubisky was ruined by Dow Loggins and John Fox. Protect the ball. But right. Patrick Mahomes didn't. Yeah, you're right that Patrick Mahomes has more weapons and better coaching, but still, the eyeball test tells you the truth. Patrick Mahomes is the best young quarterback out there right now. There's no doubt about it.
It's too early to call. Plus, you just mentioned a key point there. This is Mahomes' second season in this offense. All right, he was tutored by Alex Smith, who knew the offense inside and out. Right, and he had Nagy and he had Andy Reid and so on and so forth there. To allow him to kind of, soak this all up. Trubisky was thrown in with Dow Loggins and Mike Glennon as his veteran mentor. All right. And they're playing the, Madden offense that they were playing last year, whatever the heck that was, with no offensive weapons. So this is, literally his first season in this offense, in this huge offense that even the coach Nagy, even Andy Reid, guys like Brett Favre, who played in his offense in the past, have said it takes you multiple seasons to learn to fully grasp this offense. So this is Trubisky's first, season in his offense. Mahomes had a whole year, learning the playbook, sitting behind a veteran like Alex Smith, who helped him learn the offense even better. And again, like you said, the coaching, the play calling, you know, the weapons, you know, that's a huge factor. You know, and getting back to real quick to Trubisky and offense, I don't think that's disappointed me the first two games. Is it just seems like he has a comfort level right now with Allen Robinson, which is great, right? The Bears paid him, Robinson, that is, number one receiver money, but he doesn't spread the ball around to other receivers. You know, Anthony Miller, you know, Taylor Gabriel got a couple passes here and there. You know, I expect a Trey Burton to be a bigger part of this offense. You know, I think he only had four receptions today, Trey Burton, that is, and one of them was that shovel pass at the goal line for the touchdown. So, you know, I like to see him, you know, get more comfortable in the offense. Obviously, again, this goes back to him being, you know, having better grasp of the offense and going through his progressions to find those other receivers. Because right now it's either Allen Robinson or, you know, Tariq Cohen or possibly Taylor Gabriel. I mean, he's not looking at anybody else, right? Kevin White, and you guys are going to knock on Kevin White, but, I mean, Kevin White hasn't even seen a pass, you know? So, and Anthony Miller up until today had like one or two, you know, targets. So, again, this just goes back to probably him just getting more comfortable and going through a progression, a full field progression, as opposed to just quickly, you know, looking for his main guy, which, you know, right now it appears to be Allen Robinson.
I just want to be on record as saying that I want to do the Hall of Fame introductory speech for Patrick Mahomes. Let's see, in about...
After two games.
That'll be... Yeah, absolutely. After... It'll be 20 years from now, so how old will I be? Oh, shit. I'm going to need help up to that podium.
Wow. After two games, we're going to put him in the Hall of Fame.
I like what I see of that kid. I love what I saw on his tape. This guy had the worst mechanics in college, and yet he was still making tremendous throws. And yeah,
hold on, Danny.
You've had 55 minutes of the 1 hour show to talk. Let me talk. Patrick Mahomes had all of these terrible mechanics in college. Now, after a year of Andy Reid, the good coaching, the studying, and so forth, what I've seen after two games is those problems with his mechanics are gone. This guy has got better mechanics now than Mitch Trubisky, and he probably always will. Mitch Trubisky, if you look at his college tape, which I looked at every damn play of his season, his season with North Carolina, he was thrown off his back foot back then. Mm-hmm. And getting away with stuff because he had a nice connection with that small Glenn receiver. I forgot his name. But this...
Ryan Switzer?
Yeah, that's him. So this is going to be a long development period with Mitch Trubisky. There's people in the chat room saying, yeah, in 2 or 3 years. Yeah, in 2 or 3 years, right. But in 10 or 15 weeks, we're going to see Patrick Mahomes leading his team into the playoffs. Hey, that's an opinion, but I think it's an opinion that has some value based on the results that we're seeing. The kid is breaking records, NFL records. 10 touchdown passes in 2 weeks. It's never been done before. Never.
Right. And I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying that before we anoint him a Hall of Famer or the next great quarterback, let's just wait and see how it develops. Let's give him a full season as a starter. Let's see how the league, you know, reacts to him, how the league attacks him. How does he adjust? He's not going to be throwing four and five touchdown passes every week. I guarantee you that. Okay.
We'll see, in terms of
you know, Mahomes has coming out of college, he had the traits. I mean, he had the arm strength, he had the, you know, the athletic ability, he had the ability to move the pocket, to change his launch pad and throw from different arm angles. I mean, no denying the kid has arm talent. He had the best arm in the draft. He might even have the best arm in the league at this moment, you know. But go back to your saying, you know, like he had the horrible mechanics, but look at him now, right? So look at the coaching. It took him a year to sit behind a quality veteran starter who helped him out as well. You know, look at his footwork right now. You know, yesterday, one of his touchdown passes, because I watched that game against Pittsburgh, and one of his touchdown passes was behind Travis Kelce, right? Kelce had to contour his body and make a terrific catch on the run right in front of the goal line, grabs it, and he falls in for a touchdown. You know, stuff like that. It goes unnoticed because it's one of his six touchdown passes. But, you know, stuff like that, you can see where, you know, having great weapons, you know, great players around you, you know, can make you look good as well. So, again, I'm by no means am I saying, you know, Trubisky's a bust or that or Mahomes is not going to be great or whatnot. I'm just saying let's give them time, right? So far, Mahomes, like you said, looks good. His second season in this offense. Trubisky, first season in this offense, new coaching staff, you know, his looks shaky in the pocket, but you can see that talent when he gets out on the run, you know, his ability to, you know, to elude traffic, to be able to change his throwing platform and to, you know, throw on the accurate line and run also is something that we saw on his college tape. You know, there's some throws in the pocket that when he settles and his footwork is clean and he follows through in his motion, he makes good accurate throws as well. So it's just getting him to that level where he's comfortable and he's consistent, you know, play in and play out. So let's just give him all. And of course, let's not forget about my top rated quarterback coming into that class was Deshaun Watson. So let's see how all three of these guys play out. But let's not jump to conclusions after, you know, 2 weeks.
And by the way, my fourth rated quarterback that season was Deshaun Watson. Because of the velocity of his throws, which is why he's not playing as well this season, because that's why defensive coordinators are scheming better against Watson, because they know that he cannot zip the ball in there. And so they've altered their defenses to deal with that huge deficiency that he has. And that's why I compared him to Matt Leinart when he came out of college, because Leinart didn't have a fastball either, just like Watson. So the
Watson has a terrific arm. What are you talking about? I mean, it's not the Mahomes.
Terrific Mahomes arm.
Yeah.
Ooh, he doesn't have.
Yes, sir. He's a very good arm. He has very good arm strength. He can make any throw on the, you know, in any NFL throw. He can make it. You know, in terms of now, what they're doing is because I think, you know, last year Bill O'Brien did a great job of altering his offense to fit Deshaun Watson's skill set. And basically what he was doing in Clemson, he kind of did the same thing here. So now defenses have, you know, counteracted that and said, all right, you know, you only have, you know, DeAndre Hopkins and you have, you know, Will Fuller every once, you know, every other game where he runs down the, you know, runs a nine route, you know, runs for, you know, down the field for a touchdown. You know, other than that, he's got nothing else around him, you know, and the offensive line it might be one of the worst offensive lines in football, by the way, the Texans. So that's another thing to keep in fact, you know, keep in mind as well. But yeah, I mean, don't, and he's coming off an ACL injury as well. So, and yeah, he still had 300 yards and I think multiple touchdown passes each of the last two games. So again, it's too early to call one player a bust you know, but if I had to like rank them right now, I mean, obviously, like you said, Mahomes and Watson are ahead of Trubisky right now. But again, multiple factors in that, right? We talked about it over and over again. You know, coaching and weapons and offensive systems and all that stuff. So, but let's not rush the judgment. Let's give all three of these players some time. Let's see who develops.
I still believe that Mitchell Trubisky can be an excellent quarterback in this league. It's just going to take a lot of time. And so I hope that this defense remains dominant. I hope that this head coach relies on his running backs more and his running game, because truly, if he implements some of the old school coaching techniques, this team has playoff possibilities. But if he's going to force feed Trubisky into this 21st century offense where it's pass, when he's not ready to, then you're going to be sacrificing games just like you did at Lambeau Field last week, and therefore you're going to sacrifice the opportunity, the chance to be in the playoffs. And so that's my biggest concern after week two. Let's remember that they beat a Seattle Seahawks team that did not have Bobby Wagner. Let me ask you this, Danny, if Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright and who else? There was another third player who was hurt. If those guys are playing for the Seahawks tonight, do the Bears win?
Did the Bears win? I think so. I mean, I think they win. I mean, again, it's not like the Bears pounded those guys in terms of the running game and basically, you know, bully them to a victory. I mean, they made some plays in the passing game to go ahead and of course, the pick six and the defensive pressure that they put on them. So, I think, I mean, obviously they would have made a difference. I think the Bears could have won. The only thing is with, you know, with the Seahawks is offensively, I mean, it's pretty much Russell Wilson and nothing else right now. You know, so, you know, I know Brandon Marshall, I had a touchdown the first week, and but, you know, he's not the same player he was when he was in Chicago. So, you know, and you know, they're relying on a tight end, Will Dissly, who was a defensive lineman in college, who was flipped over to the offensive side, was known predominantly at Washington as a blocking tight end. And now, you know, he's had, you know, back-to-back, you know, big games for him. So that offense is basically Russell Wilson and nothing else. So, you know, so to answer your question, I think they would have won. Now, I mean, ask your question. You know, we're talking about Trubisky and the quarterbacks. If Mitch Trubisky turns out at his best to be, say, I don't know, Alex Smith or Kirk Cousins, at his best, right? Mm-hmm. Was that a good pick?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I mean, if that's your ceiling, you know, or if that's your floor, right? Alex Smith or Kirk Cousins, I think he has a chance to be a good player.
I don't know.
You can win with those players, especially if you have a dominant defense.
Exactly. I mean, you know, if I'm an NFL general manager, I'm always building the team from the offensive and defensive line, and then after that, I'm building the defense. And you can win Super Bowls with a Joe Flacco. Why? We've seen it happen. Defense
and wins championships.
And winning the line of scrimmage wins championships. That's never going to change until they continue to change the rules to the point where football doesn't become football anymore. Lots of great activity in the chat room, and I am sorry that I have not selected some of the great comments here. I am going to end the show by asking our man, Danny Shimon, who is going to be in Arizona next week, what are his overall expectations of what he expects to see at Arizona when the Bears go there next Sunday?
Well, I'm hoping for a win, but let's not underestimate this team. You know, the Cardinals are going to come out. They're 0-2. Like I said earlier in the show, they have talent on defense. They have the ability to make things very uncomfortable for Mitch Trubisky. So, if some of this pattern continues where he has, you know, quarters or drives here where he looks a little overwhelmed and you know, some of that noise, that crowd noise could affect him. This is not going to be a gimme. This is not going to be an easy game, in my opinion. The Bears are going to have to go out there and actually win this game. Again, they're going to have to rely on their defense. I hope they rely on their running game. But, you know, it doesn't appear that's going to be the case this season. Who knows? Maybe Coach Nagy will surprise us and pound the rock next week. So, but obviously, it's a winnable game. It's a game that the Bears probably should win. But you know, if they come up on the short end of the stick, I won't be shocked. I'll be disappointed. But yes, I mean, go out there. Like, let's, you know, they're 0-2. Man, if they start Mike Glennon, that's going to be you know. It's going to be Thanksgiving, you know, dinner for Khalil Mack and the boys, you know, going up there and, you know, and just feasting on Mr. Glennon. So, but I think if they do make a change at quarterback, it's probably going to be the rookie Josh Rosen who's going to get in there. So, we'll see what happens there. We'll keep an eye on that situation as that game in here. So, short week, so the Bears, you know, will have to get prepared for the Cardinals real soon here. So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to being at the game. Hopefully, I'll be able to hop on and give you some insight after the game. And if I hadn't had one or two beverages, because this is a non-swearing show, so I can't get on here. You know,
oh well, we might
swearing.
Have to change that rule. Bobby Phelan, Bobby Bombs, says that you guys should hook up because he's going to be at that Arizona game. So
yeah, I will. I'll shoot Bobby a message. Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Hey, I want to thank everybody in the chat room. We had quite the crowded room in there. Lots of great activity, lots of debates, people calling me an idiot and stuff for my opinions. And I don't blame them because I do realize.
Which one? Mahomes' opinion or someone else's opinion?
Well, I don't know. Shane's picking on me again. So. I want to remind people that our schedule is different this week because of a Monday night football game. We are Bears Hour Live now moves to Tuesday night. So Draft Dr. Phil will give his comprehensive look at this game and all things Chicago Bears. That starts tomorrow, Tuesday. If you listen to this on podcast, that starts that night, Tuesday night, at 9 p.m. Central. And then on Wednesday, we've got Buffon 55. On Thursday, we've got Fantasy Football Goon. On Friday, we got the Mike North Advantage. What am I forgetting? We're probably forgetting a bunch of other stuff. But Buffon, I think I mentioned Buffon. It's on Wednesday night. And then on Sundays, the Barflight Tailgate Show, the newest show on the Bears Barroom Radio Network that everybody in the nation is talking about. They're saying, wow, they got these four, five, six guys on this show. They're all drunk, and they're all talking Chicago Bears football. This is pretty cool. And it is. Those guys bring it every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Bobby Bombs is the host, and he's got a crew with him of crazy barflies. It's just good fun listening. I love the show. I love getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and handling the controls over to them and just listening in and laughing and listening and learning and stuff. So very cool.
See, you get up at 6 a.m. in the morning. Those guys are coming in at 6 a.m.
Exactly,
in the morning.
Exactly. Exactly. No. Every single one of those guys is – oh, wow. ESPN is showing highlights of Patrick Mahomes. Oh my God! So beautiful.
Wait, so all right. So, which is your biggest man crush? Is it Quentin Nelson or Patrick Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes.
Really? Yeah. Over Quentin Nelson?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Shane has taught me that I can find a guard in the second or third round, you know? I mean, you're going to miss more likely finding a guard, but yeah, you're going to find one, you know? You keep trying, you'll find one. But a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, that's a once-in-a-lifetime prodigy, man.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I got to tell Bobby. Bobby says he likes me better when I've been drinking. I have been drinking, Bobby. It's called Adictivo Tequila Extra Añejo 100% de Agave. I just opened it up when the show started, and boy, am I feeling good. And I'm especially feeling good because the Chicago Bears are 1-1. They are now a playoff contending team, and after they beat Arizona next week, they're really going to be a playoff contending team. So, Danny, any final words before we say goodnight?
No, I just it's good to get a win. This is an opportunity, this part of the schedule here where the Bears can actually stack some wins together. You know, if they go down to Arizona and get that victory, you know, you have Tampa Bay, then coming next, will you be facing? Because that's the first game Jameis Winston is going to be able to be eligible to play. You know, do they make the switch to Winston? Do they keep, you know, Fitzpatrick in there? So that'll be key. But, you know, the way the Bucs are playing now, that looks like it'll be a tough matchup as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be curious, you know, will they go with Winston? And will he be rusty? And then can the Bears take advantage of the Bucs and get a win from them as well? Then now you're stacking three wins in a row, you're 3-1, you're feeling good, and this is where momentum builds, and then next thing you know, you can just keep going on down the season.
Hey, if I'm the head coach at Tampa Bay, I'm riding Fitzpatrick all the way to the point where he starts losing games for the team.
Might be the case. That could be the case.
Yeah, I mean, this is magic. You got it in a bottle. You know, use it. Don't, just because you got this high-priced quarterback with a big name, Jameis Winston, forget that. Fitzpatrick is your man. He is playing lights out.
But we all know what Fitzpatrick is, though. He's a career backup. So
absolutely, he's a career backup. But you never know. You know, Rich Gannon was what? What was he before he won a Super Bowl?
He was a career backup.
Exactly. So it happens. All of a sudden, these guys start taking steroids, or I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, but remember the Jets did the same thing. Jets believed in Fitz magic.
That
as he
was
calls it
the
now.
Mistake.
And then what happened?
In him. Well, don't believe in him. Just it has to happen by accident. That's the formula. All right, everybody. Listen, remember, if you drink, please do not drive. Instead, host your own podcast show. And always, bear down!